whole day. Like, preachers, leave it for next time. There will be something this morning. Let's ask God to bless. Father, thank you so much. You have given us this morning already a great blessing. You have reminded us of your care for us. Caring for how the animals care for each other. They carry their young. They love their young. They feed their young. And they protect their young. And I thank you, Father, that right now we can be just pause to remember that you do the same for us. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you, Father, for the liberty that we have and for those who so faithfully work in often unseen ways to preserve our liberty. Thank you now for your word. These men and women who were part of the story of Scripture, thank you for the record that's left on the pages of their lives. Thank you for the challenge and counsel of the prophets, the record of Jesus, that we open up to be taught and instructed how to live for you. I come, realizing that there is no real power in preaching. The power is in you and in your Holy Spirit working in my heart and in the listeners' hearts. So I'm asking you, Father, for that power to be felt and experienced and responded to in my life and in the life of each listener. In Jesus' name, amen. Going over getting. This has been on my mind a bit as James and I met together. We went through elders training together, went through the elders manual together. And that was a blessing for me as much as maybe more for me than James. I'm not sure, but it was a blessing for both of us. And this concept caught my attention. We'll share that with you this morning. As in pastoral ministry, some confession's good for the soul, so it's a little confession opportunity. Pastoral ministry for me has I found myself a lot of times trying to have a magnetic, you know, I'd like to have a magnetic ministry, you know, where people just come from everywhere and they hear and they, you know, this is great and we're here and what I've discovered that it doesn't always work that way. And that kind of attitude of being something and someone that's gone to and looked up to and pursued has fed into a... Is my slide not on the screen? Because I do have slides. No, I don't need them now, but I will need the slides later, and it's not showing up on the screen. It feeds into what I realized was part of my own ministry perspective, and that is this idea that I call religious consumerism. Where the church has joined this conglomerate of consumerism, especially in Western society. The church is a place where I go to have my needs met, just like I go to Walmart to have my grocery needs met or my kitchen supply needs met, or I go to the car store to have my car needs met, or I go to the doctor to have my health needs met. It's this society where I am losing more and more my responsibility and my contribution to society, but instead engage in society as a consumer. And I complain when things don't happen on time. I am very dependent on others because I'm taking in. I'm a consumer, not much of a contributor, but mostly a consumer. And that mentality has gone to the church. My attitude of the church being this place where you have a preacher who attracts lots of people to come is consumerism, and it's at its tops in Christian circles. And through a statement that we read, just a little short sentence in the book on the Handbook for Elders, the essential statement was, the church is not primarily defined by who comes, but by who goes. I searched this morning, James, I almost called you. I couldn't find the sentence. But it struck me. The church is more about who goes than who comes. And that was revolutionary to me. I knew that before. It's not going to be surprising that I told you that, because you know that. But I had never really stopped to embrace that concept as a defining concept in ministry. That my role as a pastor is to equip people to go. Now, people may come, but my real goal is how many of you and as members are going, not how many of you are coming. Because it's not about how many people consume the faith, it's how many people are transformed by the faith and take it back into the field around them, right? So the real definition of church health is not how many people come here to consume, but how many of those who do come go out to bless. Right? That's the bottom line. Jesus called the disciples, and then he sent them and said, go. So the story we read this morning in Mark chapter 5, fascinating story. Disciples, they've been in a storm that night. The sea is at peace. The boat comes to land. They get out of the boat and they walk onto the beach. And as they're scaling their way up the cliff-lined beach, they pass a rocky place. And out of the rocks comes the crazy man you heard about in Mark chapter 5. He may be frothing at the mouth. His hair is mangled and he stinks. His skin is probably cut in many places. There are old wounds and healed scars. He is literally dragging chains because they would chain him up at the local prison because he would harass the population, especially along that seacoast, that lakeshore coast. It was the Sea of Galilee there. Or Sea of Tiberias, as it's also called. He was a threat to safety. So they chained him up. But every time they tried to incarcerate him, he broke out. And he had the marks on him, carried about the chains with him, that demonstrated his ability to escape. He met Jesus on that seashore. Jesus saw the cry of his heart, the cry of a man who is tired of being a prisoner in his body. Jesus set that man free. Can you imagine what it would have been like to witness that or to be that man who for the first time experienced the ability to make up his own mind? For the first time, it wasn't a fog of voices and words and drives and uncontrollable passions. For the first time, he could stop and think. He could hear his own thoughts. He could hear the sea breeze. He could look people in the eye without rage overtaking him. He was all there, fully restored to mental health. Where would you want to be if that was you, having been a slave in your own body for years and you're set free? Where would you want to be if that was you? Don't tell me you're not connecting with the story. Where would you want to be if that was you? You'd want to be with Jesus. So when Jesus goes to leave town, where would you go? That's right. You would say, Lord, I want to get in the boat. And that's in fact what he did. In Mark chapter 5, he asked Jesus, I don't know that it records his ask, but he obviously wanted to get in the boat. In fact, it says, and notice there in verse 18, when he got into the boat, he that had been demon-possessed, Mark 5:18, begged him. He's pleading with Jesus, just as the plea of his mind was set me free. So he's there. He's saying, no, Lord, you can't leave me. They're going to get me again. I don't know what he was saying, but he was pleading, please, Lord, you gave me freedom. Take me in the boat with you. Like any of us would have done. He begged with Jesus. Jesus looked him in the eye, and what did Jesus tell him? Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And how he has had compassion on you. The man departed and he began to tell his story. That story is the epitome of today's message, going over getting. The Christian faith is not all about what we get, but about how what we get is transformed in us going. Going to help someone else discover what we have discovered ourselves. Jesus had given him just he'd had just a few little bit of time with Jesus. How many of us have spent years with Jesus and we still want more? And he says, no. You need to go back to your family, to your friends. Now, we need fellowship. We need weekly fellowship, of course. But the Christian life is a life meant to turn around in blessing. If I come and consume and that consumption does not turn around in blessing someone else's life, then I am a selfish believer. Right? What'd you think with me about some of these passages here? The first one is in, by the way, you can follow along on the Bible app if you want to, if you haven't already looked it up. And this is talking about Israel. It's in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 47. It epitomizes, it's on the screen, it epitomizes the purpose and calling in a graphic picture of what God wanted His people Israel to be. This concept of going to bless. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are what? Healed." So you and I, we start in the church, but where do we flow? We should flow out of the church, and where our lives end up should what? Heal. Notice the continuation. "It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live." It's not up there still. What's going on? Okay, let me unplug. I apologize there. You pull it here, put it back in. That's why you were getting your Bibles. The projector's on. Okay, now I can cure that. I'll just do this. Okay, let's go out. It's going to get there. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. So, "It shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will" what? Live. The church, in other words, God's people, were to be this stream in the desert that had living trees along its banks. My wife read a good article. She posted to Facebook. You can look at her Facebook page if you want to see it. It's called, The Widowmaker Church That Repented. And it's probably a good article. I actually haven't read it. My wife said it's excellent, so I'm going to go read that. I haven't had a chance to get to it yet. But it's about this concept of blessing. "There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there." Why is the multitude of fish? Because the waters flow into the lake. Now, the lake it's talking about is the Dead Sea. We'll get there. "There will be a very, for they will be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglam. There will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from" where? "The sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." Get the concept there. The people of God, if you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, that was there in the chapter. The people of God are to be like a river of life flowing out of the sanctuary, that everywhere we go, the banks along our lives are turned into a rich place of plants and life. When we flow into someone's life, whether it's our homes, our workplace, it should come alive with the presence of Jesus. It's going over getting. I'm not simply a consumer. I'm a consumer to bless. To bless. Now, would you look with me at this next passage? This is from the book of Isaiah 58. You'll recognize this. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Again, the concept in Isaiah 58 is a concept that religious life, referenced by fasting, should be composed of ministry and blessing to others. That out of my religious experience should be born a going to bless, a going to serve, a going to set at liberty, a going to heal, a going to comfort, a going to lead home. That's the birthing that God wants to do in our lives. Incidentally, in Acts of the Apostles, a couple of good statements, and you can go home and read the whole chapter, not real long, great Sabbath afternoon reading, Acts of the Apostles, first chapter. From the beginning, God has wrought through his people to bring blessing to the world. To the ancient Egyptian nation, God made Joseph a fountain of blessing. Through the integrity of Joseph, the life of that whole people was preserved. One man's faithfulness preserved the nation. Will your faithfulness preserve your company, preserve your house, preserve your church, preserve your neighborhood, preserve your city? How will God use you to bless? Through the integrity of Joseph, the whole nation was preserved. Through Daniel, God saved the life of the wise men, of all the wise men of Babylon. And these deliverances are as object lessons. They illustrate the spiritual blessings offered to the world through connection with the God whom Joseph and Daniel worshipped. Everyone in whose heart Christ abides, everyone who will show forth his love to the world, is a worker together with God for the blessing of humanity. That stream from the sanctuary flowing out to bless the world. As he receives from the Savior grace to impart to others, from his whole being flows forth the tide of spiritual life. Again, it's this concept of going instead of getting. We are not simply consumers. We are recyclers in some sense. We take what God gives and we put it back into the world to bless the people around us, both into our secular interactions, to bless them like Daniel and Joseph did, and to our more spiritual endeavors, to lead others to know the Lord as we do and experience the freedom that we experience. Second paragraph, page 14. But the people of Israel lost sight of their high privileges as God's representatives. They forgot and failed to fulfill their holy mission, and they became merely consumers. Consumers. They consumed the blessings as long as they could get them. They forgot God and failed to fulfill their holy mission. The blessings they received brought no blessing to the world. All their advantages they appropriated for their own glorification. I want to ask, how many of us have too many times become a dead-end street for the blessings God has poured into our lives? We've become, in some ways, like the Dead Sea. The fresh springs of the Gihon flowing down the Jordan River into the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. And then continuing on their way down to the Dead Sea, where it just gets stale and saltier and saltier and saltier. Because the Dead Sea passes nothing along, it just takes in. And some of us live our Christian life that way. That demoniac on the Sea of Galilee, on the edge, on the shore of Galilee, had less knowledge than I would bet. I'm not a betting man, so I won't bet. But I would imagine that he knew less about the Christian faith than all of you here. And yet Jesus sent him back with that short experience to share his faith in his hometown, and it changed his community. It's not really about how much you and I know. It's about what we do with what we know. Turn that tide of blessing that flows into your life, turn that around and say, "God, when I go home, when I'm at work, when I'm with my friends and my family, I don't know how you want to turn me into a blessing, but I'm here," like Isaiah said. "Here I am, send me. Make me a river of life as I flow through the desert lands of the world in which I live." They shut themselves away from the world in order to escape temptation. The restrictions that God had placed upon their association with idolaters as a means of preventing them from conforming to the practices of the heathen, they used to build up a wall of separation between themselves and all other nations. They robbed God of the service He required of them, and they robbed their fellow men of religious guidance and holy example. We're going to see that concept is not just showing up here. That is a biblical concept. Look with me at a couple of other Bible passages. The next one I want you to think about is this idea in Matthew 5. Jesus said, you are the two things. What? You are salt and light. In fact, it's in this next Bible verse. You are the salt of the earth. And then Matthew 5, 14, 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill. That's what we are. Our life is to be infused with God's power and presence that it may light and salt the lives of the people with whom we interact. In other words, the great definition, the great evaluation, the great defining mark of the success of our church is how many flow out of this place to bless. That's the definition of success. If your life is a blessing as you leave this place, then you are making our church a blessing. If when we come, we take and don't impart, we're robbing our neighbors, our friends, our workplace, our community of the blessing that God has given us for them. This next one is Romans chapter 1. 24:15, Matthew. This gospel of the kingdom should be done what? Preached where? In all the world. The concept, again, of going. Here's the Romans text. Paul is writing here. His own testimony. I am debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and unwise, so as much as what? In me is in me. I am ready to do what? Preach the gospel. He called himself a what? A debtor. Paul felt, as we saw in Acts of the Apostles, that he owed the blessings given him to the people around him. Go with me for our final text to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32. That's the last of the slides on the screen. Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32. We're going to wrap it up with this statement by Jesus. Luke chapter 5. Is again along these lines that I've been emphasizing this morning, that God has called His people to go and bless the world around them. Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have what? No need of a physician, but those who are sick. Those who are well don't need a doctor, but those who are sick. So Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. Why? Because the righteous know the doctor. The righteous have had the remedy. Jesus came to lead sinners to repentance. The blessings that you and I receive in the church are not primarily designed for us, but are primarily designed for the people to whom we go as we walk out of the doors. Now, God does need to grow us. And so part of the church challenge is to grow us. But growth takes place primarily at home, where we learn and we grow. We come to fellowship and our faith is affirmed. But the ultimate goal of that whole process is to send us out like a river of life flowing out of the doors of the church. That outflow, the volume of that outflow, defines our productiveness and effectiveness as a church, defines our health as a church, not the inflow. The Dead Sea is not healthy because it's just taking in. Sea of Galilee is a healthy place because the water flows through and is passed along. So my challenge to you is a new focus for me, and I want to invite you to embrace the same focus. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. I want you to think in your life, how do you use the blessings that God gives you personally, that He gives you through the church? What do you do with those blessings? Do you, like the Gihon spring in the Sea of Galilee, pass those on? Is your life littered with evidences of the impact of God's grace flowing through you? Do people's lives improve as they associate with you? Does your workplace improve simply because you walk in the door? Does your family have the light of Jesus there simply because you're in that family? And as a church, I want us to think corporately. How are we blessing? I want us to start thinking of our definition of our existence, not from the perspective of how many people come to our health events, how many people come into our doors, how many people we're giving Bible studies to. Although that last one, let me leave that out because that's a different category. I want us not to define ourselves by what's coming in, but define ourselves by how we're going out. How we're going out. So defining ourselves not by how we come into worship, but when we leave worship, how we leave. What we do when we leave. That we flip around this consumerism and stop simply being a consumer and instead become a producer. Move up the chain, receiving grace and become a manufacturer in a sense, allowing the love of God to bring blessing along our trail. And helping to do that, there's a couple of things. One, you've noticed if you've been reading In Focus that there's a ministry opportunities section. Now, let me tell you right up front. The Three Angels Church does not define the limits of ministry. I want to be clear on that. The Three Angels Seventh-day Adventist Church has two roles in ministry. Number one, to encourage you to minister. And number two, to equip you for ministry. But we don't define the length and limits of your ministry. What we have here are some opportunities. There are a few. There's God's Closet coming up, which is a simple thing. If you're not interested in even meeting someone face-to-face, you can come, and with fellow church members, you can sort through clothing. That's an act of ministry. Then there's the GLOW ministry that's not listed here, but that Sherilyn highlighted, where you're actually taking literature. There's the We Care ministry, which this is the first time you've ever heard this word, but the idea is the deacons and deaconesses and elders are primarily involved here, but you can be involved here too. And that is going to someone's home who can't make it to church because they're sick or they're on a trip or for some reason. In other words, making yourself a blessing by a phone call or an email or a letter. Transportation ministry. Maybe you've got space in your car when you come to meetings at the church. Offering that space as a ride space for someone who'd like to come. And then on our website, there is, if you just go to threeangels.org, you will see under the resource tag, actually I'll just go ahead and show you since I have it on here. Right here is, you won't see it, let me put it up. This is our Three Angels home site, right under resources, ministry opportunities. So you click on that and... there is an extended list, people to call, prayer ministry. So there's just, what I want to do is provide opportunities. That's what I want us to do as a church, provide opportunities, encourage participation, equip for participation, but knowing that we don't define the limits of how God can use you. You're called to be in ministry, to be in service, to go out in blessing. And I can't define or limit how that's going to be. What I want to do is encourage you to think as you go out of the doors of yourself as a drop in the river of life. That God is calling you to leave this place in ministry. And that your spiritual growth is defined more by how you leave than by how you come. That's the thought I want to leave with you. Like that man who begged to be with Jesus, Lord, lead me there. Some of us, that's what we want. We just want to be with fellow believers. We want to be in the safety of fellowship. But Jesus says, no. Go back to your families. Go back to your homes. Go into those risky, scary places that intimidate you and make the chills go down your spine because you're afraid to live your faith. Go back to those places and say, God, I'm here where you've placed me. Now somehow shine through me. Somehow make me a river of life in this place. in this home, in this workplace that before I've had no idea how to be. Show me how to live out blessing in this place. Would you like to ask God to help us do that, to go out today as a river of life? Father, we're here. We've been sent, like the disciples, like Isaiah, like Israel. We've been sent to leave this place as a river of life, that along the course of our lives, wherever they may lead, spring up fresh grass and vibrant lives. Wherever we may settle down, whether it's at work or at home or wherever that may be our neighborhood, that place would begin to come to life around us, because Jesus is flowing through us. I ask that you would help us to move from being consumers to being producers, that we would think of our success as your people, not in terms of what we get, but in terms of what we give. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 578, and it's a very simple song, and the song is "So Send I You." It's about going over getting. Let's stand together. 578, "So Send I You."
So send I you to places to triumph, a name to bear, and in sin and sin, mine to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you my victory to win. So send I you to take to souls in bondage the word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters. So send I you, my bring the lost to me. So send I you, my strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, to grace, to a promise presence. So send I you, my journey through to gain. So send I you to bear my cross with patience, and then one day to enjoy, to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant. So send out your, my kingdom and my crown. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
The Lord bless and keep you. May His face shine upon you as you go from this place to bring life to the world around you. Amen.